We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
What's up, guys? This is the Uncontested Podcast, covering the Oklahoma City Thunder. This podcast is ran by Jacob, Nick, Justin, Taylor, and Kamiar. Listen to future episodes on your favorite podcast streaming service like iTunes or Spotify, and don't forget to leave a 5-star rating.
This is Lou Dort. You're listening to the Uncontested.
What is up? Welcome to the Uncontested Podcast. We are a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network, the official podcast of BoomtownHoops.com. I'm your host, Jacob Niffen. To my right, I have Justin Peabody.
Hello, everybody.
You're virtual, right?
And then to my virtual left, I have Taylor Peterson.
Sean, I wasn't actually taking a dump. I was uploading a video of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander highlights to our YouTube, which you all should go and subscribe to.
There you go. Have you seen that?
But yes, I would have sprayed some air freshener to your...
Have you seen that video where... I think it was a meme someone made on Twitter where it said, my wife asking me what I'm doing in the bathroom, and it's Trump saying... It's big dumps. They're big dumps. That's Taylor.
That is Taylor. That's me.
Incredible. That's me.
That is Taylor.
Last time I upload highlights for you, a-holes.
Hey, if you guys haven't already, Taylor's been dropping highlight videos on our YouTube channel. So go subscribe to the YouTube channel. You can watch awesome highlight videos.
And Justin made me some really cool graphics that actually fit the YouTube screen, so I don't look like a, you know, degenerate who doesn't know what I'm doing. So thanks, Justin.
We're taking baby steps into the video world here.
Baby steps. That's right.
Gotta do whatever we can, man. Growth. So awesome. Well, we are streaming this episode of the podcast live on Twitter, on Facebook, and on YouTube.com. So if you are watching the live stream, what's up? Thanks for joining. Drop your comments in the chat section. We'll answer them as we go through the pod today. If you are listening to the podcast version of this, what's up? Happy Monday. Hope you guys are doing fine. Gentlemen, we have a lot to talk about.
Yes.
Typically, we drop a post-game podcast after a game. But since this game came on a Sunday, we are just doing a normal show. But we are going to like kind of bake in the post-game in here. So let's dive right into it. The Thunder finished off their 5-game road stretch today in Brooklyn, New York, to take on the Nets. I did not think the Thunder were going to win in Brooklyn, New York.
Not at all.
After the first quarter, when the Thunder were down 29-41, it did not seem like the Thunder were going to win in Brooklyn. No, but it would have still been a solid road trip at 3-2 if they lost today. But then after that first quarter, the Thunder said, you know what? Let's kick their ass. End up winning the game 129 to 116, that'd be really impressive. 129 to 100.
I was going
to
say 16. Holy cow. Shea had a bigger game than I thought.
Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, 31.6 rebounds, 7 assists. Second leading scorer, one Hamidou Diallo with 25 points, 3 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 steals.
Never once. I've always been back behind Hami.
And then the third leading scorer, the third 20-point scorer tonight, one Al Horford with 22.6 rebounds, 3 assists. Guys, I don't really have a layout for how I want to talk about this game. I just wanted to throw it out and see what we think, answer some questions in the chat. What are we taking from this?
I want to talk about Hami. And
let's
since
do it.
Since we have our resident Hamidou Diallo fanboy, Taylor Peterson, on the pod. New York Hami has been unbelievable, not just tonight, but against the Knicks as well, putting up ridiculous numbers. I would argue two of the best games of his entire career. Mm-hmm. And we've got a question in the chat from our boy Thunderbeard. Is Diallo taking a step for real, or is it just an anomaly?
That's such a really good question, because
it is.
I'm on record of constantly saying somebody's got to score points and get rebounds, right? There is something though to the way Hami plays. That dude comes on the court and then just plays like somebody lit his head on fire. You know, he goes hard 120% of the time. There is something to that that allows him to rack up stats. I think the biggest thing, Justin, is, I mean, we were all dogging on Hami earlier this season because of his poor decision making and his poor shots.
Not me. Nope. Not me. Never. Never once.
He has stopped like really shooting that mid-range jumper and stopped trying to be point guard. And what he does is he takes the ball and he says, F you, I'm getting to the front of the basket. Try to stop me.
That's been the biggest development, is getting to the rack. He can finish. He's a great finisher. It's using his athleticism to just go over people and go finish at the rack and blow by them. And I think that's taking advantage of his best attributes. I mean, I know he put in some work on his shot in the offseason, but he's not going to be a knockdown shooter. And I think
he learned that pretty quickly.
He learned that
in those first couple of games.
It reminds me a little bit of Andre Robertson going, really taking advantage of like cutting to the basket, getting easy buckets that way, instead of trying to be like the floor spacer that's going to hit open shots for you. That's not going to be his role. And I think we've really seen, especially these last two games, him really taking advantage of that.
Absolutely. And I also want to make a quick point. I mean, obviously it's very easy, and I think we're pretty cognizant of this, to praise the coaching staff when the team is winning basketball games, and to kind of, you know, poop on them a little bit when the Thunder or a team in general are not winning basketball games. But in this case, I do want to point out, I think Daigneault really has, or at least the coaching staff in general, has had a really good effect on Hami. He even mentioned in his post-game interviews tonight, mentioning watching a lot of film, how that's helped him kind of analyze the game, kind of slow his game down, because that's exactly what was happening. Like you said, Justin, like you've mentioned so many times on the podcast, Jacob, he's a guy, you know, maybe a top 5% athlete in the entire league of a league of athletes that are top 5% in the entire world in terms of athleticism. And he is going 110% of the time. And so
he's doing. He leverages his athleticism. We've seen other super athletic guys in Oklahoma City, Terrence Ferguson, Perry Jones, just to name a couple, who had all the athleticism and never put it to good use.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point.
Hami, every time he's on the court, he's putting that athleticism to good use. I've never seen somebody second jump that quick in my life.
Yeah, it's absolutely wild. But also, just like you, to Justin's point earlier, he's not settling for mid-range pull-up shots, you know, off the dribble. He's much more poised. I think I mentioned this when I had my little brother on the podcast on, what was it? I guess Friday night. Much more poised. He's driving to the rim and attacking. He's either drawing fouls. He's hitting free throws, which is kind of surprising because he's still not hitting his outside shot. Right. But he had a three-point shot tonight, and he's actually passing and kicking out to the open his open teammates, which I think is really impressive. Really impressive. And the other thing too is
he's not doing too
picking,
much.
Well, he's picking George Hill and Shea's brains is something that he said in his post game interview tonight, which I think is really important.
Also, apparently my man has beef with half the vets in the NBA.
Yeah, no kidding.
He and J.J. Redick have gone at it. Today, he and DeAndre Jordan went at it.
I love it.
He got some love from former Thunder loser Kevin Durant.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. We tweeted it out, but interesting that Kevin Durant played against the Thunder, but none of his former teammates are on this team anymore. And weird. I don't think any of his former coaches are on the team anymore. I don't know that for sure, but I'm pretty sure that's accurate. Thunderbeard in Periscope said, I cringe every time Hami pulls up for three, though. And I kind of have to agree. The free throw, you mentioned, Taylor, the free throw stroke looks nice. The jump shot still has a hitch in it.
Yep.
Just get downhill. He can beat anybody if he gets moving downhill. So just get downhill. Who else what else do we want to talk about besides Hamidou Diallo?
Next topic. Jump into it. Let's talk about Shea. I mean, that was the biggest topic. Just perfect.
one of his best games.
Oh man,
in his career.
Yes.
Yeah. He came out. I always kind of worry about if Shea comes out and hits his first few shots, is he going to force stuff? And he did not by any stretch of the imagination tonight. I mean, his first bucket was he shook KD and got to the basket.
So good.
And then his second bucket, I think, was a three. His third bucket was he got KD on that up and under move. And then he got KD on another shake where he went downhill, drew two, and dropped it off to, I think it was Horford for a dunk. He was on one tonight, guys. Like, his confidence is sky high. And post-game, coach was saying, like, this kid lifts after every game. Once they're done playing, he hits the gym and gets on the weights. That nobody's more dedicated to their craft than he is.
Jalen Hurts style.
Oh,
still God. Starving.
Still has better accuracy than Jalen Hurts, though.
It's not hard.
But yeah, that's what she said. But Shea, maybe he won't be the best player on a championship team. Maybe he won't be the second best player on a championship team. But damn it, does he look good? I posted it on the road trip, averaging what 22, 6 or almost 7 and 6 on like crazy efficiency. He's playing really, really good.
He just keeps taking leaps. And I think that's what's been crazy so far is like he looked really good his rookie year for the Clippers. And then he took a leap last year and it feels like he's taking another leap. And I think some of that's predictable because of, like we always talk about, a bad team needs somebody to score points. And you could argue that OKC is not a bad team right now, technically, but I think overall that just the, what they're being asked to do or what they're asking Shea to do is control the ball more and take more of that responsibility this year with Chris Paul gone. And I think you're seeing that. And what's exciting is the fact that he is really stepping up to that challenge. I got a little bit worried about that coming into the season of like, you know, how many bumps is he going to take along the way? But I think what we've seen from him is he's really risen to the occasion. I think that's exciting when you think about not this season, but upcoming seasons, you know, what his potential is on this Thunder team. Like you said, Jacob, what's his role? Is it second best player, third best player? Where does he fit in that kind of pecking order? I think that if he continues to develop, he could continue to have a bigger and bigger role in whatever Thunder championship contender team 2.0 looks like.
I think my favorite thing that I saw, I shouldn't even say tonight. I think my favorite thing that I've seen is just progression each and every game. You know, we talked about it, how improved that Shea looks from the very beginning of this season.
Yeah.
But we wanted to see him be more aggressive. We wanted to see him take more shots. And the thing that I've seen, at least during this road trip, is seeing him continue to improve each and every, improve, but continue to be more aggressive each and every game, kind of culminating tonight. When he has one of the best basketball players of all time, Thunder fans may not love me saying that, but let's be completely honest here. Kevin Durant is one of the best basketball players to play the game. And the fact that, you know, he's come back, Kevin Durant has come back this season pretty healthy, almost what seems to be 100%. And he is the sole defender against Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and Shai's doing what he's doing to set the tone of the game so early. I mean, this is exactly what we want to see from Shai, and I could not be more excited. Just really, really impressive all around. It's not like he's forcing shots or like point guards of the past, and Russell Westbrook will forever be my favorite basketball player of all time. But with that being said, Shai is just so poised and balanced, I think, in his attack. And what we saw was him creating for others and you know, using it and continuing to be aggressive, not just forcing up shots and just trying to, you know, knowing that he's hot, trying to make every single shot that he throws up, he's creating for others. And we saw that often tonight. I believe he had 7 assists.
Yep,
and it's just a complete game all around tonight from Shai against a really, really good Brooklyn Nets team who is kind of up and down. And tonight was maybe one of their more down games, especially with Kyrie being out. But with all that being said, when you have a guy like Kevin Durant playing defense on you and you do what Shai was able to do tonight, that's just special. So I think all that to say with Shai, I hope that fall that he suffered in the fourth quarter isn't anything too serious.
Yeah.
Right. That was a little scary.
From, I think that you pronounce this, Rami Anderson on YouTube says, sometimes for fish to grow, all they need is a bigger tank. Shai has the entire aquarium right now. Growth is uncapped.
Ooh. And I love it. That's good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Justin, you mentioned, you know, that Shai from year one to year two took a leap. Now from year two to year three, it looks like he's taken a leap. I think we even backtrack it even farther than that. You know, he was drafted 14th or 13th, somewhere right there, and wasn't expected to do much his rookie year. Before that, he was a pretty low kid coming out of high school. Right. He was the last guy taken by Kentucky. It's like since he's like been 17, every year he's taken a leap and proven to be better than what people think he is. And I think people need to stop putting limitations on this kid. He's growing and growing. My favorite part of what we've seen from his game is his passing.
Yep.
You know, we see him get downhill. Before tonight, Shai was third in the league in drives per game. He's getting downhill. He's third in the league in drives per game, but 42nd in field goal attempts a game. He's getting downhill, but then he's kicking out of that, right? He's drawing the double. He's kicking to open shooters. His guys aren't always hitting them.
Yeah.
His potential assist numbers are really good. He's making the right basketball reads, right? He's playing the right way. He's not forcing really very much at all, which is really, really nice. You love to see that. I mean, shit, if I was Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and I was 22 years old and had the keys to the franchise, I mean, I'm pulling.
You mean pulling from the logo?
I'm pretty young in high school. I'm crossing half court and launching that bitch, you know. So, for him to have that self awareness, very mature kid. It's awesome to watch. I'm really excited.
Sean has a pretty funny comment here. I'm gonna put up on the screen. Kevin Durant defended SGA like he defended Klay in Game 6.
Yeah,
referring to the 2016 Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, SGA had some beautiful moves.
Yeah,
he's so crafty. He's a blast to watch.
Just really quick, just kind of to summarize what we've talked about between Shai and Hami. Also, just for starters, per Thunder PR, and this makes sense. It's not a huge surprise. This is the first time in Hamidou Diallo's career where he scored 20 plus points in consecutive games. And before tonight, he had only done it one time. He's playing very well right now. I keep using this word. I use it in Friday's post game and tonight. Yeah, New York Hami for sure. If the Thunder could play in New York all the time, Hamidou Diallo would be an all-star. But
kind of like Andrew Wiggins.
Yes, just like Andrew Wiggins against the Thunder. But the stat I really wanted to throw out here was from ESPN Stats and Info. It was a tweet. Shai and Hami are the first pair of Thunder teammates, both age 22 or younger, to each score 25 points in the same game since Russ and Kevin Durant in 2011.
That's a wild stat.
That's awesome. Really impressive.
Super crazy.
Whether we think Hami and Shai are going to be Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook or not.
Not so much.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Still not sure about that. But
so to answer Thunderbeard's question from 10 minutes ago, I think that if I had to guess, it's most likely an anomaly. But not like a full Hami's going to go back to being, you know, aimless every time he drives to the basket. I think he's showing growth. I don't expect him to score 20 points very many more times this season, just because, like you said, Taylor, he's only done it once before in his career, before this two-game stretch. But I think that overall, we're seeing good developments out of him. He's continued to put in the work. We hear a lot about his work ethic and the stuff he's doing off of the court. And I think we're finally starting to see that pay off, and it's exciting. Yep. He's a guy that's been up and down on the Thunder, and I'm excited to see, you know, what role he can play moving forward.
Definitely. And here's another thing to consider, and I don't want to like rain on this parade. The Thunder have played really well. They're 4-1 on a 5-game road trip. We did not see that coming. But there also was something to, again, I'm gonna re-harp on this. The way Hamidou Diallo plays, post-game Steve Nash said that, you know, once the Nets got up 15, they kind of thought they had won the game and took their foot off the pedal. And Hamidou Diallo, you know, he's got his foot all the way down to the floor every time he's on the court. Right. And so if you start to lean off and just kind of coast, he's the kind of guy that's going to eat you alive, right?
Right.
I mean, those plays like against the Knicks where he snuck up behind Julius Randle, stole the ball and went and got a dunk. That's just, he's going to do that kind of stuff all game long. He's the kind of guy that I hate comparing NBA players to like my local pickup run. That's the extent of my basketball.
I think you actually love that.
That's all I have to go off of. But he's the guy.
Okay, Michael Cage, that, back like, in my church league.
He's the guy that at pickup that everybody hates because like he's like constantly diving on the floor and like borderline reckless just because he's going so hard. Right. Hami is, you guys are going to hate me for this comp, especially the people in the chat right now.
Pat Bev.
Hami's a little bit Pat Beverly-like.
I was thinking that this whole time. Yes.
There's a little bit of Pat Bev in him.
I like that.
It's just like he's so energetic. It's annoying. And it's like, just can you just chill? Just like be cool for one
possession. Oh, he's annoying if he's playing.
You guys are tanking, right, exactly. And we're trying to like.
We love it.
No, we love it. Like, absolutely.
Why are you doing this?
Yeah.
He's like, I don't give up. You know?
I think you're going to see that a lot this season from Thunder opponents, where the teams that they're playing get up big. It's the Thunder. They're supposed to be tanking. And I think the Thunder are going to make them regret, you know, taking their foot off the pedal. I'm not saying they'll come back and win by 20 points every time. But I think that overall, I bet you see this a lot more times this season.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point. One other point or one other theme, or and we can go however long we want, I guess, on the post game. But I know we want to get into this just this week overall. One last thing I want to bring up on this game specifically. The Thunder scored 66 points in the paint compared to 56 for the Brooklyn Nets. And that's something that's really been an issue for them with guys like, you know, when they're starting bigs, quote unquote, bigs, right? It's a different era in the NBA these days. But when Darius Bazley is your power forward, your starting power forward, and Al Horford is your starting five, and you have Mike Muscala and Isaiah Roby coming in playing back up 5 minutes, and Roby is honestly probably another guy we probably need to touch on for tonight. But all that to be said, and Jacob even tweeted this out, it's been a maybe forever. This might be the first time ever that the Thunder have solely had stretch bigs.
Yes.
So points in the paint and even rim protection in general has kind of been an issue for this team. And tonight, against guys like DeAndre Jordan, Jared Allen, Jared obviously. Allen.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of some of their other bigs, or quote-unquote bigs, that the Nets had. But all that to say, I thought that was really impressive for this team. It's something that I think these guys really tried to focus and kind of hone in on after that really being a weak point for this team prior to tonight.
Yeah, they made it a point to attack the basket tonight consistently. Which is good to see. And yeah, Brooklyn has good rim protection. I mean, even Kevin Durant is a pretty good rim protector. And Shea and Hami lived driving to the free throw line, driving to the rim, getting to the free throw line. Al Horford, I've noticed tonight, I didn't tweet it, but I've noticed tonight it really clicked for me. Whenever Al Horford catches a post-entry pass, that ball's not coming back out. It's only going one place, and it's to the rim.
Exactly.
He ain't passing that thing.
Yep.
So, but yeah, to see them score that many points in the paint for a team that's been shooting a ton of threes, you really love to see that. That's really good stuff. You've kind of seen them really purge that mid-range game and really take all their shots either in the paint or at the three-point line. And that's modern basketball. That's what you want out of them.
It makes me wonder, since you brought up Al Horford, if this trend continues. And I know that it's been almost jokingly said of like too good to tank. But like, at what point do you start feeling antsy if you're Sam Presti to make some trades? Of like, how many wins is too many before it's like, okay, I've got to get Horford and Hill out of here.
Before you're just like, well, shit. Like, what do I do?
It's a weird situation to be in.
Yeah, for Presti, he's like, man, my young guys are playing good, but God damn it, we're supposed to lose. Like, get with the program. I mean,
outside of you can trade Horford and Hill.
That's about it.
But outside of that, where you go from there? Yeah.
Those are the three bets. Those were literally three bets. Just one other guy really quick, and we don't have to dive into him, but just I want to make sure I mention him. Isaiah Roby, 5-7 from the floor tonight, 13 points, 5 rebounds. He played backup center in the role that Muscala usually plays because Muscala hurt his ribs in the previous game. Isaiah's looked really well when – at least me, I'm going to fall on my sword here. I was clamoring for him to be one of the guys that were cut.
He played like preseason. Preseason. Like, oh, he was awful.
He's been a new guy.
What's worse than butt? Because that's what he played like.
Babyface Roby is what I'm calling him. I love it.
He's so good this season. Bizarre. It's young guys. It's young guys. It's an abbreviated camp. It's not a normal season. Like, I think you're going to see lots of up and downs
for opposing teams.
But, like, yeah, he's looked really good. Like, surprisingly promising. Who would have thunk when he was on the Texas Legends and got traded to the Blue? Seems like a long time ago now.
Yeah, I was in the building.
I know you were.
They grow up so fast.
Oh, man. Roby's looked good. Okay, guys, well, let's transition from tonight's game just to the week overall. Like we've mentioned multiple times already, the Thunder went 4-1 on this 5-game road trip. Wins against Orlando, New Orleans, New York, and Brooklyn. The lone loss was that thumping from Miami. But overall, what have we learned from this road trip, if anything? Is there anything from this road trip that you take away that you think, man, like, this is a thing with this team now?
Well, I think, like I alluded to a moment ago, I think that the clock might be ticking to make some trades. Now, I say this with a caveat. The Thunder have won some games, but they also haven't had a super hard schedule, especially compared to what's coming up. So it'll be interesting to see how they fare coming up. But I remember having a lot of these same conversations last year at the beginning of the season when it was like, oh, you know, the Thunder schedule has been pretty easy. It'll get harder. It's going to get harder. They just kept winning games. And I don't think that'll happen this year, but I didn't think it would happen last year. But I think that the clock is starting to tick a little bit on moving Horford and Hill. And it'll be interesting to see how Presti plays this. Cause I think before this season, my thought was you wait till you get the perfect deal. You wait till you get exactly what you want and you capitalize as many assets as you can. If that means Horford stays all season, so be it. The more games they win, the more I start to doubt that. And the more I start to doubt whether you can afford to keep those guys all season because you need to lose. And right now, they're not losing as much as you would hope.
Justin, to harp on that point, you know, Presti always has been, I'm going to extract maximum value out of this asset.
Yeah.
Part of the value of trading a guy like Horford or Hill now is that they are not on your team and it makes your pick better.
Yeah.
Right. I could trade Horford in the summer to get pick number 20. But if I trade him away from my team right now, I go from getting pick 13 to pick 5.
What's
better there? Right. And so it's like this value assessment,
more leverage.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes for a tanking team, it's better to get those vets off your team and maximize your own pick. I think that factors in to the calculus somewhere in there that, you know, getting George Hill off this team, maybe you only get a second round pick for him.
George Hill should have never left Barclays Arena tonight.
Yeah.
The Nets should have made an offer on the spot.
He should just walk across the court to the other.
He would help their defense quite a bit. Yeah. But, you know, I mean,
hands off.
If you only get a second round pick for George Hill, but he raises your team this coming 2021 draft from getting pick 10 to pick 7, it's worth it.
Yep.
It is definitely worth it.
Yep. So just really quick to both of your guys' points, I wanted to bring this up just really, and I actually mentioned this on the Friday pod, but starting on Tuesday, They play the San Antonio Spurs. The next day, they have a back-to-back. It's at home, thankfully, against the Lakers.
Yep.
Then on Friday, 2 days later, they play the Chicago Bulls. On Sunday, 2 days later, the Philadelphia 76ers, so long as they're through their COVID situation, they'll hopefully be full speed at that point, and that'll be another tough game. Then Tuesday, so Sunday to Tuesday, they play the Denver Nuggets. That they have a couple days off, finally, until Friday when they play the Los Angeles Clippers. Sunday, they play the Clippers. This is a West Coast road trip. They play the Portland Trailblazers Monday, a couple days, or wait, sorry, that's a back-to-back. So Sunday night, they play the Clippers for the second time. Monday, they play the Portland Trailblazers. And then Wednesday, they play the Phoenix Suns. They finish up that brutal stretch with Brooklyn back home 2 days later.
There you go.
That's a rough, rough stretch.
I think the rest of January tells us a lot about this team, personally.
It tells us everything about this
team. They've overachieved so far. They've played really well. Do they go like, I don't know how many games you just left it off, Taylor, but do they go like 2-8 in that run, right? 1-9. I think that's kind of where
games do they go
10 games? 2-8. Yeah, I think 2-8 is good.
Or 2-8. Sorry, yes.
Right? lose a couple, win one, lose some more, win one, lose some more. If this team rattles off like a 5-5, then I think the question of like, are they gearing more towards like a play-in game for the playoffs rather than a top five seed becomes a very, very real conversation. As of right now, I mean, this team is still 29th in the league in offensive efficiency, which says something about the Nets, who gave up 130 points.
Exactly what I was just thinking. Their defense is so
and Kyrie, bad. Look, I know what Kyrie's doing, and it's probably related to the terrible situation that happened earlier this week. When we had just some extremists, some terrorists, domestic terrorists, call it how it is, storming the Capitol. And we don't want to get too political on here. But I'm just saying that that is probably what is going on with Kyrie, because it was that night that he decided that he wasn't going to play basketball, and he hasn't since. And I get that. But you know what? If you decide that everything else is that much more important than basketball, then he probably should pull Kaepernick and not be playing basketball. It's just
spicy. Taylor's getting spicy.
All I'm saying is I don't respect what he's doing. Just going, you know, off the cup, basically, or I shouldn't say that, just completely gone. And only communicating with Steve Nash and, you know, just wishy-washy on this team, because that's going to happen throughout the entire season. Hey, so are you going to play basketball with your team?
I think he just ran out of sage to burn. Okay. The Amazon order was late. Give him some time, bro.
That's fair. That's fair. But anyways, I'm just saying this Brooklyn Nets team definitely needs Kyrie Irving. They definitely need Kevin Durant healthy.
And George Hill.
Because their role players are iffy and their bench is not very deep.
Yep. So, yeah, I think this stretch in January is really going to tell us a lot about this team. I wanted to ask you guys, though, speaking of that, do Thunder fans need to stop watching Cade Cunningham and Jalen Suggs and Evan Mobley highlights? Are we hyping ourselves up too much because it's out of a possibility?
Kidding. No kidding. Let's talk about like the 15th pick overall.
We don't want to do that.
I mean, I think the thing is with the Thunder, and it's going to be this way for the next, I don't know, 4 or 5 years approximately, is it kind of doesn't matter what pick they get. They have the assets to go acquire whoever they want. They should have the assets to go get whoever they want. So if they feel like Cade Cunningham or Jalen Suggs or whoever is worth 4 first-round picks, 5 first-round picks, 6 first-round picks, they can go make that happen. And it kind of doesn't matter where they end up this year because they have so many assets to go acquire them if Sam Presti deems that that's who he wants to go. You know,
agree.
Build a franchise around.
The only issue I've been thinking about is these next couple of drafts that are quote unquote so deep. And again, this coming draft has proven to be so when you're watching guys like Jalen Suggs and Cunningham, and the G League situation is a little iffy. We'll see how that goes in the bubble. All that to say, this draft seems to be proving itself. So opposing teams. So for example, let's say the Detroit Pistons end up with that number one pick and they just are just garbage. Sam Presti approaches his old friend Troy Weaver and says, hey, I want that number one pick. And Troy Weaver can just go, Yeah, I'm sure you do. So is there, so is there the other 29 teams in the league. Are you going to give me the Paul George package? Or are you just going to give me like a couple future firsts? Because I want the Paul George package.
I mean,
so there's a little leverage there.
It's also possible that Detroit just says, kiss my ass. We want Cade.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Exactly.
You know, then you go put together a package for Suggs. Or Mowgli.
Suggs is so stupid good, dude. I love watching it. So according to Tankathon.com, if the season ended now, which would be dumb because that'd be a really short season, the Thunder would get the number 17 overall pick, which currently belongs to Miami. That would go to OKC. And the Thunder would get the number 7 pick, which currently belongs to Houston, because the Thunder's own pick is too high at that number 20 right now.
So good.
The Thunder would end at 7-17, which isn't ideal, but
yeah,
you could play around with that and make something happen.
So quickly before we move on, Nate Sanders from the chat, we have to get a superstar. We being OKC have to get a superstar in the coming draft because we need Shea and that pick to be on a similar timeline. And I think that's a good point, especially when you're seeing what guys like Shea, Lou, and Bazley are capable of already this season. You give them another season, another offseason to develop, and next season we're looking at three guys who are, you know, they aren't going to necessarily be championship ready, but they're ready to go. So the longer and longer you wait on that, I think to Nate's point, you know, you need to capitalize on a superstar earlier, sooner rather than later.
Hey, I think 2021 is a draft where you don't go and try to get one guy in the top five or six. You try to go get two, right? It's kind of that Kevin Durant, Jeff Green draft again.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? There's enough talent there that you do what you can. So it's very interesting. Very interesting. Any other thoughts from the week and the road trip, the 4-1 road trip, guys?
I just think it's just another season of camaraderie. You have a great coaching staff and some vets who do genuinely care. And guys who really like playing together. I mean, I remember seeing Shea at the end of the game going up. I think it was Al Horford had the headset on. He's going up and slapping them and pushing them and smiling with them. And if you have guys who enjoy playing together, you're going to win games like you have this season.
And winning does that.
Winning does that. But the Thunder do that as well with the culture that they build. So
we hear Heat culture all the time. It's about time we start talking about Thunder culture a bit, guys.
Yeah.
Because it's real.
Not wrong. It's even rare in these games. Yeah.
All right. Well, before we move on, I gotta ask you guys about the tank meter.
The tank meter
from full down to empty.
We need a tank meter sounder. I think
we do. From full to empty, where is the tank meter at currently?
It's down to like a fourth of the tank. Yeah. It's down to like a fourth of the tank right now. Going 4-1 on a road trip. A pretty impressive road trip against some pretty solid teams this season. I'm saying a fourth of a tank left in the tank meter. Hopefully that thing gets refueled with this upcoming schedule.
I like it. I like what you did there with a fourth of a tank and 4-1 on the road trip.
It's always there to make me look better than I really am.
I love it.
I think I'm with you, Taylor. I think a fourth of a tank is good. They're not in great shape right now. And I think that either something has to change. And I think that change could be the schedule. Like we talked about, the change could be trading some guys, the change could be both of those things. But I think if the Thunder continue on this current trajectory, they're going to be using Miami and Houston's picks, which is not what anyone expected coming in this season.
Well, the problem is the tank commander, Hamidou Diallo, read the manual and found out how to operate the goddamn thing. That's the problem. He found out where the shoot button was and where the drive button was.
He
added some moss to the
commander.
He went from being Helen Keller behind the wheel to Vin Diesel. It's not good.
Look, if Hamidou's doing this and this is who he is, and Shea is who he is, and Bazley's who he is, Dort's who he is. I mean,
let's just go win a championship then.
Exactly. Right? There you go.
Let's go win a championship in a couple seasons.
There you go. Well, it's we'll see where, again, they've got a rough stretch coming up. We'll revisit the tank meter every Sunday and we'll see where it ends up at. But yeah, I think you guys are on the spot. You know, about it's it's about a quarter of the way full right now. You know, it's the tank is not doing well, especially when you look around the league. And we all talked about how, oh, like the Washington Wizards, they're not going to be a bottom five team in the league. Well, maybe they are now, especially that they've lost Thomas Bryant. Yeah, right. We said the Toronto Raptors aren't a bottom five team in the league. Well, the Raptors are 2-6 and currently losing. Who are they playing right now? I forget who they're playing right now, but they're losing their game right now, too. So, you know, it's
Golden State. They're actually up by one with 7 seconds left if you want to get technical.
I don't know. We need Golden State to win that. So we get that Golden State pick this year, too.
In the Golden State.
Yeah. Yeah. So, the tank is. It is falling apart. It's like a Soviet era World War II tank. It's just a piece of shit and it's not doing well. We need to upgrade. So, well, guys, we're going to take a trip around the association. Before we get there, though, we want to take a quick moment and tell you guys about Blue Wire Hustle.
Hey, guys. I know we've been talking about Blue Wire Hustle over the past couple of podcasts, but we want to tell you guys about it again because it's really special. There's a lot of momentum here. We want to make sure you guys are up to date with the latest. I want to tell you about Blue Wire Hustle, a brand new program where you can host your very own podcast here at Blue Wire. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Blue Wire Hustle is the perfect place for you. As a part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, question and answers with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to the community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of all that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All other listening platforms. And the best part is, you can get all this for only $15 a month. That's the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you just for the initial setup, the uploading, all that fun stuff. So whether you're starting from scratch or have an existing show that you want to grow, Hustle is an open door to leveling up your sports experience. Acceptance to the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. Check out our description box for this episode to find out more, but that's bwhustle.com/join.
Credit Karma has always been there to help you make better financial decisions, and now they want to help you even more. With a Credit Karma Money Spend account, you can be rewarded for good money habits. Credit Karma Money is a brand new checking account where you can win cash reimbursements for making purchases. Just pay with your debit card, and if you win, you'll be notified on the spot and your Instant Karma cash will be added back to your spend account. Open your FDIC-insured spend account for free. There's no minimum balance requirements, no overdraft fees, and free withdrawals from a network of over 50,000 ATMs. And when you make a purchase between June 8th and June 30th, you'll automatically be entered to win $1 million. Right now, visit creditkarma.com/winmoney to open your free account and start winning instant karma. Go to creditkarma.com/winmoney to sign up for free and start winning. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchase necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank Incorporated. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply.
All right, gentlemen, it is time for us to go around the association.
I don't even know where you're sitting at.
I figure for this week, we could do some over-unders for around the association. So we'll just bounce back and forth between the two of you. We can discuss each of them more in depth if you guys would like.
Yes.
First one goes to Taylor.
Ooh.
Taylor, over-under, 2.5 teams currently in the Eastern Conference playoffs will not be there by the end of the year. So our listeners know, the top eight in the playoffs right now in the Eastern Conference.
So Taylor knows. Jake is going to list these off for me. Thank you, Jacob.
Philly, Boston, Indiana, Orlando.
Oh, they're out.
Milwaukee.
Out.
The Knicks.
Out.
The Cavs. And in. The Hornets. 2.5 of those teams. That's the over-under. 2.5. Being out of that top eight by the end of the season, whenever we actually get to the playoffs. You going over or under on that, Taylor?
Ooh, that's pretty spot on, but I'm going to go ahead and go over. I don't think the Cavs will be in. I don't think the Magic will be in. I don't think it's crazy just because of this entire crazy season. We've already seen the effects of COVID. We've already seen some early injuries for teams, especially you have the Fultz injury for the Magic. You have the terrible injury today that was announced with Thomas Bryant of the Wizards. Unfortunately, I think it's random things like that are going to continue to happen. So I think the randomness of the season is probably something you can bet on this year compared to other seasons. So I'm going over 2.5. If you want me to pick, I'll go Cavaliers and I'll go Orlando Magic. And Wizards will probably be the three. If you mentioned the Wizards, maybe you didn't. They might be towards the bottom.
I think I would go over as well. I don't think Charlotte's making the playoffs. I don't think Cleveland's making the playoffs. I don't think Orlando, maybe even the Knicks. You know, I think teams like Miami, Brooklyn, and Atlanta are going to get in. I think it's pretty safe over.
Yep. No, and here's the thing with the Knicks, too, not to do a deep dive on the Knicks, but like, they seem to be on the right trajectory, and it seems like this new front office is doing things that they should be, led by Leon Rose. With that being said, if they do end up being like a playoff team, either a play-in team or even like a seventh seed or eighth seed, I think that means that they've done the wrong thing. They've held on to some of these players that they currently have when they should have probably shipped them off of the trade line and to more match some of their younger players like Mitchell Robinson, even Quickly, who's looked so great this season, and RJ Barrett. So, the Knicks might make the playoffs that season. That's great. I think it's probably a path for mediocrity.
Yeah, I agree. Justin, you get the next one, which is essentially the opposite question. 2.5 teams currently in the Western Conference playoffs will not be there by the end of the season. Those teams, and currently in the top eight, the Lakers, the Suns, the Clippers, the Jazz, the Mavericks, the Blazers, the Warriors, and the Thunder. 2.5 of those teams not making it.
Justin's making a lot of funny faces, so I put him full screen.
Oh,
that's
why
I get to do being in charge.
I don't like this at all.
Make it stop.
Make it stop. This one's a little harder than the East, I feel like. The Thunder, please, will not be in there. But beyond that, I don't know. Like, I think the Nuggets probably move in to the Thunder's last spot in the playoffs. Not saying they'll be the eighth seed, but saying that they'll move into the playoff picture. Maybe the Warriors, maybe. I don't know. This sounds crazy to say a little bit, but like, maybe the Suns don't make the playoffs. They've had a really hot start and they've looked really fun, but I could see them trickling off as the season goes on. I'm not totally sold on Portland. There's a lot of like kind of question marks I have in the West, but when I look at the teams that are on the outside looking in, there's nobody down there that I'm like, yeah, they're definitely getting in, other than probably the Nuggets. I feel pretty confident about the Nuggets getting in. So I think I lean towards under, but I don't know if I have like a hard and fast, like, It's probably two. Yeah. I don't necessarily know who the second team is. It could be the Pelicans. Could be the Rockets if they get their crap together. Yeah. Could be the Grizzlies. Could be the Spurs. Probably not going to be the Timberwolves.
Could be just about anybody but the Thunder.
Right. Yeah. That's kind of how I feel.
We still don't feel 100% about that, which is just sad. But
yeah, I think under is probably the right answer here as well. I think I agree with you. Next over under, Taylor. 70.5 games played by each team this season. The regular season is 72 games. Mm-hmm. So I'm asking you, are we going to get under 72 games? I'm putting the over under at 70.5.
This is really tough, but I'm going to go ahead and say over. I think what we've seen, especially the past couple of days, or at least over this past week, Adam Silver seems very committed to making sure that these games get played. And it's going to take a lot, basically, if you don't have at least seven healthy players that are able to play a game, he's not going to, or I shouldn't say he, the league is not going to cancel a game. And when they do cancel some of these games, they're going to try and reschedule those. And they're going to
technically not canceled, but they're postponements.
Postponements.
Right?
Yeah. Postponements. So with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and say the over. I think they're going to try and make every team play a full quote unquote season. Like you said, Jacob, that's 72 games this year, not 82.
They need it for the revenue. Scary. Money talks.
Yep. And that's right. Yep. That's right. It's going to have to get ugly again for them not to, to finish the season.
Yep. All right, Justin, 9.5 is the over under for games that get postponed due to COVID and contact tracing. We're already at two. Thunder, Houston, and Miami, Washington. Miami, Boston. Yep. Today.
I'm going over, and I think the easiest path to this is like the NBA coming out at some point if it gets pretty bad across multiple teams and saying we're hitting pause for a week or 2 weeks
or 3 weeks.
Exactly.
And we're gonna have to look at a bubble situation.
Give enough teams an opportunity to work through it, to move through it. And that is going to obviously be more than 9.5 games that get postponed due to something like that. I think that is a likely possibility. I'm not going to say it's a lock or anything like that, but it seems like that could be something that we could expect, especially as the winter rages on and, you know, things are not getting better in the immediate future. I think we're going to continue to see this and hear conversations about it. I think you're going to continue to see a lot of teams playing with eight guys, which we as Thunder fans are used to seeing from non-COVID related things. I think back to some of those injury riddled years.
Plagues of Egypt season, man.
Plagues exactly of Egypt.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's a distinct possibility, but I think like Taylor said, I think the league will look to postpone versus cancel. It'll be really interesting to see when they decide to plop Thunder Houston back on the schedule. I'm assuming it'll probably be in between the like first half, second half break, which is probably why they made the schedule like they did.
Definitely. I could see the 1 week break thing coming up. Let's say there's like five or six teams that have enough players in the protocol with the contact tracing. I could see them doing like pause the season for a week. The games that were supposed to be played this week are getting rescheduled for the end of the season. And we pick up the schedule like it is in a week, whenever these players are back and good to go. Yep. I could definitely see something like that happening. I also wonder if the vaccine rollout gets going well, are these players going to get vaccinated over, over that gap, but what they're calling the all-star break, even though not having an all-star game in between the first half and the second half of the season, get their first shot, get their second shot shortly into the second half of the season. And they all have the vaccine and are good to just finish out the season like normal. Yeah. You know,
and you talk about herd immunity as well. I mean, there's a limited amount of players who are in the NBA. It's not like the general population. And I mean, for example, we know that Lou Dort had COVID earlier on this season, so he's probably fine. Shea Gill's out.
He can still get put in the protocol, though. I mean, we just saw Kevin Durant right?
Good point. Good point.
Which I think is weird. They're not like, you would think if a player had COVID and had antibodies and
they wouldn't make him go an antibody days,
test, not they wouldn't make them do worry about the contact tracing. So that's kind of interesting.
So not to get too scientific on this pod, and please don't trust us. We're not doctors, but
that's a good disclaimer.
You
ain't gonna tell me masks don't work.
I had a conversation with a doctor recently, and you can transmit it even if you've already had it. So if you've had it and you come in contact with somebody who has it, you won't get it, but you could still spread it, which I think is the logic behind, even if you've had it, you still are subject to contact tracing and all that stuff.
Makes tons of sense.
Don't tell James Harden.
James Harden.
Makes tons of sense. All right. I think that was nine and a half games. That was Justin's. So the next one is for Taylor. Six and a half is the over under. Players who go for 60 plus points this season. We've already had two.
This is the easiest one. No way. Six and a half. You're talking seven players going for 60 plus points in a game. And I know, maybe a little hypocritical because you can go listen like four or five, or shoot, more than that now because of post game podcasts. But all that's to say, earlier in the season, I said that the Thunder would have, I think, three plus players score 30 plus points in a game. But six and a half. So we're talking seven players who would be scoring 60 plus this season. I say no. I am going under on this one. If it happens more than six and a half times, if it happens seven times, it's going to be because it's the same players scoring 60 plus. So,
interesting. See, I think it could happen because what happens whenever you play the Philadelphia 7-point Sixers?
And all you have is Tyrese Maxey, who goes for 60 plus.
Kevin Durant could come out and go for 60 on that team.
Yeah, that's true. Yep. True. I'm going under. That's a lot of points.
A lot of points.
Justin, do you agree with that? Are you going under on that one as well?
I think I'm going under on that as well.
Interesting. What number would I have to put it at for you to take the over? Four and a half?
We said that almost simultaneously, four and a half.
I think Harden could get 60 plus. Yep. KD could get 60 plus.
We already have Steph.
Obviously, Hamidou Diallo is going to get 60 plus at some point.
Somebody else just scored 60 plus.
Obviously.
Brad Beal.
Steph.
Young, Luka, those guys could have a night where they go off.
Okay.
I think four and a half is pretty solid.
Yeah. Justin, you get the last one, which is the over-under is 3.5 on players who end the season with double-digit assists. Currently, there are only three. Those would be James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and Nikola Jokic. Number four is Trae Young, who's only at 8.6. So will we get more? Three and a half is the over-under. You're going over or under on players that end the season with double-digit assist numbers.
That's a good one. That's interesting. I think I might lean... I'm going to keep this interesting, and I'm going to say over. You mentioned Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Nikola Jokic. I think those guys all probably finish over. I mean, Russell Westbrook, it seems like it doesn't matter who's on his team. He's going to get over double-digit assists. Mm-hmm. He could be playing with a wet paper bag, and he's probably going to kick it to him a few times for an open three.
And then yell at him to shoot the effing ball.
That's right. Beyond that, you look at the next few guys on the list: Trae Young, Chris Paul, Luka Doncic, LeBron James. I feel like one of those guys could get there. I don't know which one it is. Maybe Trae Young, except he's a ball hog, obviously. Shout out to his teammates on that one. Chris Paul, maybe Luka, maybe LeBron, starting to get less likely, but I could see. I could see one of those guys getting in that range as the season goes on. So I'm going to say over, but I would not bet on it.
That's a really, really good one, but I'm going over also. I think when you look at some of the players, I'm a little biased just because I'm watching guys have a lot of assists on the Oklahoma City Thunder team. But with that being said, all the guys that Justin mentioned, I added in Ben Simmons there to his list.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be at least that many players. It'll probably be close, but it would not be wild to me to see at least four, because it's over and under set at 3.5. It would not be wild to me to see at least four players in the season averaging double digit assists.
But, I think that's fair. I like it. Yeah. I think I'd probably go the over as well. So we're all on the same page. Good job, guys. Good work, team. All right. Well, before we get out of here, guys, any last thoughts on the Thunder road trip, the game against the Nets, anything around the league?
Can we talk about those throwback uniforms that the Nets were rocking today?
Yeah.
The tie-dye
throwback. I liked them better before they put them on. maybe if your team was better and they didn't suck so bad, I'd like them a little more.
There's something about if a uniform's old and hideous, I love it. If it's new and hideous, I hate it. So that said, I really look forward to loving the Thunder City Edition uniforms in about 20 years.
Yeah, there you go. Well, and hey, speaking of Justin, Thunder are busting out some new jerseys this upcoming week. Yeah,
yeah, they are.
Tell us more.
On the back-to-back, they're finally going to break out the orange sunset statement uniforms for the first time this season. And then the next night against the Lakers, we get to see the city uniforms for the first time.
The NASCAR uniforms.
Minus Shea City.
You know, nothing has made me feel older than those uniforms.
When's the winners earned? Have you seen that yet, Justin? Is that scheduled?
It's not scheduled for the first half of the season, which makes me think it's coming out second half of the season. I've heard rumblings
kind of
it hitting retail around the end of March, beginning of April, which kind of lines up with where the schedule is.
I'm asking because I'm trying to decide when I want to order my Shea jersey and which I want to order.
I like it.
I want to go with the earned because I like them better than the cities.
Yeah, I like it.
Nice. All right, guys. Well, let's go ahead and get on out of here. For those of you who joined the stream tonight, man, thank you so much. We love getting you guys on here, getting your questions in. Make plans to come back again next Sunday, 9 p.m. As long as Taylor's not on the toilet, we'll be good to go.
If you're listening, make Thunder highlights.
if you're listening to the podcast version, man, thank you so much. We love you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. While you're at it, go drop us a 5-star rating on the Apple Podcast app. That would mean a ton to us. We've had more and more trickling in. The more we get, the more people can readily see our podcast on Apple. The more listeners come in, the more cool shit we can give away. So let's make it happen. You guys have a great beginning of your week. Please stay safe. Wash your hands. Wear your mask. Don't storm the Capitol building. And we will see you guys.
Suckers. Losers.
We will see you guys back-to-back Tuesday and Wednesday night when the Thunder take on the San Antonio Spurs and then the Los Angeles Lakers. So be on the lookout for that for our post-game pods. Those won't be live videos, but rather just regular podcasts. So subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from. We will talk to you soon. Have a great start of your week. And as always, Thunder up.
I'm going to go make a comment on the highlights.
Sugar Ray Leonard, Roberto Duran, Marvelous Marvin Hagler, and Thomas Hearns. Legends, whose four-way rivalry defined one of the greatest eras in boxing history. Relive their decade of dominance in a new Showtime sports documentary, The Kings, a four-part series now streaming on Showtime.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.